Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Manhattan Beach 360, on May 6th, 2016. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce. The Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce has been serving the city of Manhattan Beach for over 60 years, and they are dedicated to promoting a strong local economy by supporting the community, providing valuable business connections, and representing business with government. The Chamber staff is focused on providing its membership with the tools and resources to help businesses grow and thrive within the community. Their goal is to continually support the individual efforts of business as they work to support the growth of the local economy. For more information on how the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce is working with member businesses and the City of Manhattan Beach to support that growth, visit the website at manhattanbeachchamber.com or call 310-545-5313.
I'm your host, Joe Terry, and you can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. And of course, I'm never alone because of our great partnership with South Bay by Jackie.com and producer of the South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. She's not with us today, but we have a very special guest host, Kelly Stroman. Kelly Stroman is with us, a regular guest on the show and executive director of the Downtown Manhattan Beach Business Association. Welcome to the program, Kelly.
Thank you, Joe. It's always nice to start my Friday with you guys and kick off the weekend.
Well, we love having you as a guest host. You really add a lot to the party, and we love having parties.
Cheers to that.
Cheers to that, and we're going to talk about something that I know you have a lot of experience with and a lot of excitement about, because it's such a great event, and it does add to the downtown for Manhattan Beach. We're going to talk about Tour de Pier. Kelly, who's our guest today?
Thank you, Joe. Our guest this morning is Heath Gregory, co-founder of the Tour de Pier. Heath has been a longtime cycling enthusiast who has combined his love of the sport with his passion of finding a cure for cancer. Starting in 2011, in a little over 2 years, his family lost four members to cancer. Coincidentally, his friend John Hirschberg, who had lost his father to pancreatic cancer, approached him about the idea of putting together an outdoor spin event at the Manhattan Beach Pier. Gregory was all in. To date, the fundraising event has raised nearly $2 million for worthy cancer charities. Gregory is also co-founder of the Uncle Corey Foundation, a nonprofit organization dedicated to the advancement of collaborative brain cancer research. The Uncle Corey Foundation is named after his brother-in-law, Corey Lewis Hunter, who passed away at age 42 to an aggressive form of brain cancer. The Uncle Corey Foundation is a beneficiary of the Tour de Pier. Gregory is a resident of Manhattan Beach and president and CEO of Baron Equities, a privately held investment company. He received his MBA from USC. The Tour de Pier is one of the most popular fundraising events in the South Bay. It will take place on Sunday, May 15th at the Manhattan Beach Pier. Welcome back to the program, Heath. We are so glad you could join us this morning. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you, Kelly. Glad to be here.
Thank you.
To talk about the event.
Excellent. And we're thrilled to have you, Heath. It's such a special event and so iconic. The visuals for the event are just amazing. Often, as a quasi local, I'll be standing around and someone will walk up and say, "What is that?" And I will explain it. And I think that conversation happens like 1,000 times a day. That someone will walk up and say, "What is that? What's going on?" And
right.
That just builds and builds and builds. Tell us a little bit about, you know, or if you want, if you any way you shape or form you want to share with. This isn't just your typical fundraiser where you're raising money to, you know, to help people in another country. This is something that touches everyone's lives every day. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, you know, as Kelly was mentioning, we'd been lucky as a family. We really hadn't been touched by cancer for most of our lives. And then, you know, in the span of about 2 years, we lost four members to cancer. Mm-hmm. So for me, you know, it hit home. And I was, probably not aware how big of a epidemic it really is. And if you look at the statistics, you know, one in every, you know, two males, one in every three females is going to be touched by cancer in some form or fashion. And so you realize, as I started to get into this, and pay a little bit more closer attention and open my eyes, that, you know, they're everybody around us has been touched by cancer in one form or fashion. And a lot of people in our community are going through some of these silent battles. And, you know, the event is really an opportunity for us not only to raise money to primarily fund cancer research, but at the same time, it becomes an outlet for a lot of people in our community to share, you know, what's going on and, you know, connect with other people that may have gone through or are going through a similar journey. So, kind of along the lines of what you were saying, you know, that there are people that are wondering kind of what this event is. You know, this event is, what they call physical philanthropy. It is an opportunity for people to get together, whether it's a run, you know, any one of a number of other types of physical events that are out there to help raise money. Mm-hmm. But it's unique in the sense that, unlike a lot of other events where, you know, maybe you're at the start line and you have the speech and everybody feels connected for that moment, you know, 5 to 10 minutes before they take off on that run. Mm-hmm. In this case, you're together, and typically the event has been 4 hours, but you're together for 5 hours, you know, and there's a lot of messaging that revolves around it. And so, you know, with that connectedness that happens over that period of time, you know, throughout the year, you know, the thing that's most rewarding for me is actually hearing a lot of these stories of people that, you know, have really benefited from it and may have been at a critical juncture in their battle against cancer. And then this gave them that opportunity, it gave them that extra strength that they needed to get through it. And so it's, I think it helps a lot of people in our community become closer and more connected. And I'm really proud of that. So
that's awesome, man. You know, people hear about various things on television, you know, on Dr. Oz and other media outlets like that. And you've been involved with the fight in a very public way for, this is going to be the fourth year this year. Tell us a little bit about, do you have any things that you have been exposed to over the last 3 years that give you hope? One thing I know that I've run into is that there's a lot of talk about cancer as a metabolic disease. Low carbohydrate diets are being found to be very effective in the fight. Can you talk about other things that you've heard about?
Well, I think, you know, the one thread that seems to be, I think, the one that people are kind of pinning the most hope on, and we focus primarily on brain cancer with the Uncle Corey Foundation, is really the use of the immune system, mm-hmm. to battle the cancer. So I'll try to summarize it as best I can, knowing that I only got a minor in biology in college. But yeah, effectively, you know, there's a molecular approach where a lot of the doctors have tried to customize what drugs they have available that have gone through all of the testing, which is very difficult to get drugs through trials, and try to customize those for, you know, the different types of brain cancer that are there. And there can be, you know, up to, you know, hundreds of different types of brain cancer. Mm. And so, you know, imagine that you're only able to use a certain mix of, you know, maybe 10 or less drugs to target those cancers. Whereas now you're seeing the use of viruses to trigger the immune system to then battle it itself. So in, the Uncle Corey Foundation has funded a couple different research initiatives, one at Duke, one at MD Anderson. And at Duke, they're using a polio virus that, they've re-engineered. They basically insert that into the brain tumor, and then it triggers the body to react to that virus. But it's targeted, that virus is targeted specifically to attach to those cancer cells, and then the body then is then killing the cancer cells. And so they're doing that also at MD Anderson with the regular cold flu virus as well. And so you're seeing that, and that's just one example of, this new approach that people are finding better results with. So typically with brain cancer, it's a death sentence. You're with glioblastoma, which is the form of brain cancer that my brother-in-law had, literally you have, between 3 to 12 months is kind of the standard window of time that you have left. Mm-hmm. With some of these at Duke, you're seeing people that still are in remission today, and that's going on 5 years. So mm-hmm. They're not seeing the same level of results that they did at the beginning, but to see anything like that is pretty groundbreaking. And so I think more and more doctors are starting to look at the immunotherapy approach as a new method. So I think that's one of the big breakthroughs that's happening.
Awesome. Awesome. There is hope, and there will continue to be, and it does take money, doesn't it, Heath? It takes money. It takes
right.
trials and a lot of effort by a lot of people, and it's just not being provided by the government. It's not being provided industry. The pharmaceutical companies just want to make drugs. They're in some ways the ultimate cure isn't as profitable as the drugs they can sell along the way.
Right. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead,
Nestor. Well, I think, they're in the case of our foundation as well as others, there is a need to fund what they kind of call moonshot programs. And it's something that even Vice President Joe Biden had talked about recently. Mm. And that's one of the initiatives the Uncle Corey Foundation is funding at MD Anderson in Houston. There is a big machine that, revolves around cancer research, and some of the there's kind of traditional basic research that receives a lot of funding, but it's some of these new ideas that really are the ones that need to be funded, because there has been a lot of money, there has been a lot of time that's been invested in some of these approaches, and they're just not seeing. I mean, we are seeing definitely advancements, I think people are starting to stop and look and say, hey, we really need to try some new innovative ideas, and let's start funding some of those. So that's kind of where we're focused is, and it can be as simple as, helping fund, two lab techs, for a year or two. Some of these doctors, they just need $100,000. Mm-hmm. So that they can at least get it off the ground to see if there is, any response. And then once there is response, then you can get funding from NIH and other programs top of that. But they need that seed money.
Right.
Yeah, they need the seed money. And the Hirschberg Foundation does a great job with that, with their seed grant program, very focused on that. And they hand out a number of those throughout the year. So that's is kind of the new focus a little bit. Mm.
Kelly?
That was part of my question, actually. You answered part of it, Heath, is the funds that are raised during the Tour de Pierre, does it all those funds go to research for, pancreatic and for brain cancer in these different areas, or are any of the funds being used towards maybe education or to support any families, or is it all focused towards research?
So the beneficiaries from the event, the Tour de Pierre, are the Hirschberg Center for Pancreatic Research, Uncle Corey Foundation, and Cancer Support Community. So to Joe's point earlier, we wanted the event to not just be focused on raising money that would then go outside of the community, but Cancer Support Community is a group that provides free psychosocial support for families that have gone through or are going through kind of a cancer journey. And so my brother-in-law, his family had received some of their services. He has three kids. They have counseling there for the kids and for the adults. And you forget about that part of it sometimes, is that, we want to focus on the research and funding that, but at the same time, people are going through a lot. And I think for us to be able to support families in this area that part of our community that are going through some of those challenges is a real benefit. And so it's a great organization. Used to be known as a wellness center. And they have since changed their name a number of years ago to the Cancer Support Community, and they're down in Redondo Beach. They do amazing work there. So we try to help fund some of that as well.
Mm-hmm. That's great. No, I think it's fantastic. And that kind of leads me to my other thought that I was having regarding the actual day of the event. I've been there all 4 years. Well, this will be the fourth year, but all the way since the beginning with you guys. And what's remarkable, I think, to me also is seeing the amount of actual support, the day of. You have these groups of writers coming down. And some of them are coming down to support somebody who has passed away in the last year and support their family, rally around the family. You see writers who come back who maybe have beat cancer. But the amount of support that goes into people who have been touched by cancer or are currently going through treatments is profound. I mean, you see, there's tears, there's hugs, there's kind of like this, also, even though the event is so highly charged and there's so much energy, and it's fantastic the way it's run, there's also this amazing kind of love. I don't mean to sound hokey, but there's kind of an amazing love of support over the air and the entire event. And I'm touched every year about, what transpires in some of the stories that you guys tell. I know in the past you've had people up on stage to kind of honor them, people who have battled cancer and who are going through cancer. And it always kind of amazes me, too. Maybe somebody rode last year, but then now this year they're actually fighting cancer. So it's so widespread. But from your perspective, I know often you're up on the stage writing, looking back at everybody. What's your vision? What do you see when you look back at all, the hundreds of writers?
Well, if I'm completely honest, a lot of the day is a big blur. So, because you're running around with your head cut off for most of it, then you get an opportunity to write up on stage for, 30 minutes to an hour. To try to soak in as much of it as you can, because you've been working on this for 6 months, and so you're hoping that you're going to see everything that you can. You're trying to take in all those little moments, like you're talking about. And to me, really, it's oftentimes after the event is when I start talking to people, and then I hear a lot of it, or I see the photos, and I see a lot of those things. But to me, the one thing that stood out this last year was during PK's hour in the fifth hour, in the fourth hour, the final hour was when they had the survivor walk. And I'm not sure if you remember that from last year, but they brought up about, 20 to 30 survivors that, had battled cancer, had gone through the journey. And I mean, that was a tearjerker, and it was really powerful. Everybody took a moment, recognized them, and then they went out and then were giving high fives to everybody, that was riding.
Mm-hmm.
And so, for me, a lot of times when you get into a project, and I think this is normal, you start to really get into the logistics of it and the marketing of it. But, what you never want to do is, particularly in this case, is lose kind of the heart and soul of it. And
right.
So you know, really, really the central focus is on these stories and on these people that have gone through that. So that event then reinforced to me that this year, you know, we really needed to, you know, send that message to the community that, look, you know, this event is more than just an opportunity for you to come out and dress weird and, you know, sweat and, you know, have a big party. It's, you know, this is about, you know, these people in our community that have these stories that, you know, are, like I said, everybody's having these silent battles around us.
Mm-hmm.
There may be people that you know that have gone through this and you have no idea. So mm-hmm. I reached out to, you know, about 10 people to see if they would be willing to share their story publicly, which is not an easy thing to do. And these brave people, you know, agreed to, and they trusted us with their story. And so, you know, we brought together Jeff Berting, who's an amazing photographer, does a lot of work for South Bay Magazine, Jay Heschler, who has his own ad studio in El Segundo and has done a lot of work for us, and then a friend of ours, Nick Vachon with Vachon Productions, who's a videographer. And between those three, they were able to help create this campaign, you know, our Why I Ride campaign. So it's basically testimonials of these folks that have battled it, and we were able to put together, and some people have probably seen around town, the lawn signs and banners and all that stuff, mm-hmm. you know, with these people that have been brave enough to share their story with the community, as an example of, hey, you know what, that's what this event is for us to be more connected, build a stronger bond, be able to feel free to, you know, not everybody wants to share, you know, kind of the negative side of things. Everybody's got to always be positive. Always got to be positive, you know, and nobody wants any of that negative energy. But you know what? Sometimes, like, you really just need to have somebody that can understand kind of what you're going through. And I think that's, you know, by having that, you know, open feeling at the event, kind of what you were saying, Kelly, I think it allows people to let down their guard a little bit, to have those moments of weakness and vulnerability. And, you know, really, I think they become connected to it. And I think we've been fortunate in that regard that we've had a lot of retention with the people that have come back year after year. So, you know, we've this year we added a fifth hour, which was a little bit of a bold move, but we were trying to get to our $1 million mark this year, and mm-hmm. Worked with the city to see if we could add an extra hour. And weren't sure, you know, how that was going to be received. And we bumped up the registration, $25, again, trying to, you know, keep it affordable, but at the same time, try to see if we can't get to that $1 million mark. And literally we sold out with an additional 250 participants and 50 bikes on top of that about 4 weeks before we did the year prior. Mm. So, you know, I think – you know, those metrics anyway suggest that, you know, people really are excited about this day in the year on the calendar, and, you know, are having some of those experiences that we'd like to see.
So it's one of the most important dates in the calendar. My daughter's birthday, May 15th, 2016. It's going to be awesome. The pictures tour, TOURDEPIER, tourdepierre.com. The pictures are just amazing. And we're 83% to our $1 million goal, 83%. So please visit tourdepierre.com. So, Heath, now we can start on some of the other aspects. We want to make sure that everyone who is listening to the program you know, maybe hasn't gone down to see. A little technical difficulty there. We're back.
Sure.
All right, we're back.
So,
and tell us a little bit about more about that.
Well, I was saying, you know, when it related to the Kids Expo, that, you know, it's an opportunity for the parents to bring the kids down and kind of share in the fun. But that's another thing that I've been most proud of. I think, You know, I've got three kids, you know, they're all under the age of 10. And, you know, we live in what we call the bubble, right? We live in one of those few spots in the world that, where we're all, we're lucky, but we've also all worked very hard for what we've achieved. But we don't want our kids, you know, to not recognize that they need to be giving back. And I think it's something that a lot of us as parents kind of worry about. And so what I like about the event is that, you know, for many of the kids in our community and the parents, you know, it's an opportunity for them to witness them, you know, like, again, you're in one spot for 5 hours, you know, or for a solid hour, if you're riding on that bike, your kids are going to see you, you know, contributing. And then a number of these kids that are over that age of 10, they've been coming out and they've been riding along with their parents. We've gotten a lot more kids that have come back this year with their parents. They're sharing the bike and riding as well. So I think, you know, that's one thing, you know, we say start them early. Mm-hmm. You know, I think in our community, that's something that I think we all recognize we have a responsibility to do. And I think it's a great opportunity for parents that want to have their kids, you know, give back. They give back in so many different ways as part of this event. So Camp Support Community works with us really closely on helping with the volunteers. Mm-hmm. And they do a great job of reaching out to the high schools and junior highs. And so for some of these kids, you know, they need some of this community service time. And so they're coming down. They're the ones that are helping us set up the bikes. They're the ones that are helping clean up after the event. And so, you know, we're really, I think, helping the kids in the community too, you know, recognize that, hey, you know, there's a lot of different ways you can give back and you guys are making an impact. This is a fun way to do it. Maybe not cleaning up after the event, but other than that, like it could be a lot of fun. So that's one of the things that I'm pretty proud of as well.
I love it. We're going to highlight some of the teams, the hashtag Purple Ribbon Riders, 35th Street Crew, A-Team, we'll Babes on Bikes 1 and Babes on Bikes 2. We'll highlight some of those teams are going to be there. Well, I just want to take a quick break and say welcome, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the South Bay Show. We're talking Tour de Pier 2016. Yeah, can you believe it? This is the fourth year of this iconic event, Tour de Pier. You can't miss it, May 15th, Sunday. It's going to be a fantastic event. We've got lots and lots of time for you to register. Maybe go to tourdepier.com and donate. There's lots of time between now and May 15th. So sign up. Maybe get on a bike. Maybe just join one of the teams and support them, like Chick. Chicky La 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 and CryoWave, a new business in Manhattan Beach. CryoWave, an excellent company, and also an excellent team to support. There's lots of stuff to do. If you want to call in and you want to ask a comment, you have a comment or you want to ask a question, we'd love to have you. Please give us a call at 714-242-5288. That's 714-242-5288. We'd love to have your comment or question. So, Kelly, what else do we want to know about the Tour de Pier?
Gosh, Heath, can you tell us some more about some of the sponsors this year and what they're how they're involved?
We love sponsors.
Yes. Well, it's a big part of you know, the event is, and the fundraising is try to work with some of the sponsors that, you know, we have companies that are international companies. You know, John Hirschberg has, you know, he has a day job as well as I do. And between, you know, the two of us, you know, what's nice to see is that you have sponsors now that I think that are embodying kind of the, the social aspect into their business, you know, and that philanthropy and giving back, and that they're being graded on some of those things. And I think genuinely, you know, a lot of these guys that we work with, you know, throughout the day on our business front, you know, are, you know, supportive as well. So, you know, it could be any one of the banks that we work with. You know, you have City National, you have Wells Fargo, you have Bank of America, Morgan Stanley, Bank of New York actually sponsors our appreciation reception that we'll have at the Strand House on the 9th. And so, you know, just in that situation right there, you have, you know, multiple of five different, you know, lending institutions that are all participating in this event. But, you know, it kind of speaks to the collaboration and, you know, that we have on a number of fronts. So, you know, you see Bay Club and Fit On working together. You see, you know, the sponsors working together. And so I think, you know, that's, and we have, which is unusual, you have three charities that are working together. You know, so we really want to kind of push that message of collaboration. And so I think the sponsors, you know, look at that and are like, hey, you know, we get it. We really want to support what you guys are doing. And so, you know, they get involved, you know, some of these national companies, and they'll have, you know, multiple teams. So, you know, you have Ernst & Young that could have, you know, 10 teams, AT&T, a friend of mine, Chad Towns, who lives in Dallas, Texas. He, you know, is, you know, kind of taking it upon himself to really kind of push AT&T to get involved. He did that last year. They ended up winning the team competition the first year that they participated. They had over 60 participants. This year they're coming back. They're going to have more. So, you know, some of these big companies are really, you know, getting involved. But then, you know, one of the things that, you know, again, we want to focus on is the local side of things. And Kelly can speak to this as well from the downtown business district standpoint, is that there's a fun thing that, you know, some of the smaller businesses that are downtown do, that they recognize that, you know, the firefighters, the police, this, you know, our city council members, they can't really pay for, you know, a bike. So these small businesses, Nikau Kai, Trilogy, you know, you've got Tabula Rasa, you've had Manhattan Denim, you've had some of these folks that have, you know, come out, sponsored the bikes for these civic organizations. And so it's a lot of fun to see that collaboration happen and then see, you know, these lifeguards and police officers, you know, they, you know, tear down their, you know, their, you know, the picture that you typically have of them, and they're down there having a ball. And Kelly, I don't know if you want to speak to that at all, but, you know, that's one of the things that we're proud of as well.
Yeah, it you know, it is a lot of fun, and the community comes down to enjoy it and support it and ride. But like Heath said, it is a chance too for, you know, some of the civic leaders and to get involved, and to have a place where everybody's kind of riding forward to support cancer. And there's always a little section right off the main area that has the lifeguards. I think the lifeguards are sponsored by Nikau Kai, and Trilogy sponsors the police department. No, yes, the police department, and or vice versa. No, Trilogy sponsors the fire department, and I know this year Tabula Rasa is sponsoring, yeah, the police, and then the Downtown Business Association as a whole sponsors the kind of the civic leaders. And so you get the mayor down there, you get your councilman down there, you get the police chief down there, and there's always a little bit of a water fight that goes on in that area, Joe.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, no matter if it's cloudy or sunny, there's, you know, it's always a lot of fun. And then the kids come down, you know, the kids of those people come down and get involved, and it's just fun. It's a chance for everybody to come out and enjoy, to get out of your office, so to speak, and
right,
and to be a part of the event too. So we appreciate the opportunity that Tour to Peer, you know, gives us and gives them to have a section also. It's I think it's very important to bring the entire community together, and obviously a big part of that community is the people who also help run and protect the city too. So
right.
It's a lot of fun.
And, of course, we can't forget Team Ride Strong and Team Ride On and Team Motivators, Team Moms, lots and lots of great teams. Team May 3, Team May 2, check them out.
the names and the costumes are so much fun. And, you know, Heath, I remember I rode the first year, and I had some friends, you know, that we all shared the bike together. But I think the first year there was maybe one or two decorated bikes and teams that kind of dressed up. And now it's just grown into this super fun, you know, where you don't have to dress up. Right. We don't want anybody to feel pressured. But there's always seems to be, you know, quite a bit of hoopla around that. I mean, you know, from your perspective, you know, what is that? Does that just add to the fun of it and you know, the spirit?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when John and I were talking about this, you know, the first year, we want it to be fun, and we recognize that sometimes this is an opportunity. You know, you see people that dress up, you know, for the July 4th run down in Redondo. You know, people sometimes want to fly their freak flag and just, you know, have a good time. And so, you know, we wanted to embrace that and thought that, that would be a good addition to what we're doing. And so, you know, we recognize the most inspired outfit, the most creative. And so we will bring them up on stage. And we had the first, actually every year that we've done it now, we have this team called Team Suit Up. And the first year they came in their business suits and rode all 4 hours dressed up in their business suits. Then they came back and then they were dressed like all the guys from Top Gun in their flight suits. Then they came back, then they were dressed as all the guys from Mario Brothers. I mean, they just go all in on it. And there are a lot of other people that do that as well. And for the Uncle Corey Foundation, my wife kind of takes on the responsibility of doling out. We have probably about 275 participants that'll be supporting Uncle Corey Foundation this year. And so you'll see a swarm of we kind of, the theme that we go with is kind of a Superman theme, which is in honor of my brother-in-law Corey. It's kind of got a super K, and then they all have capes and hats, and so everybody kind of looks the same. And so, you know, it's a fun way for people to really kind of get into it and take it to another level. And yeah, we certainly embrace it. Nobody has to, but, you know, there's also not only just kind of fun stuff, but there's also very sentimental, ways that people have expressed, you know, their love for their lost family members and friends and, right, their support of them, where they'll have shirts that, you know, will just spell out, you know, the people that they're riding for and those kind of things. And those are just as powerful and meaningful. So, right, you know, there's a lot of different ways that people are kind of expressing themselves on the day of the event.
And we have to highlight a few of these riders. I mean, like Betsy McLaughlin, $17,000. Right. Andrew Sloves, $10,000. P.K. Kessel, $10,000. Jim Kelly, $7,900. Bill Bloomfield, $7,700. These riders are really,
right,
really taking it to the moon.
Yeah, I think, so, you know, a number of these folks, those names, you know, are all names that we recognize that have been supporters, you know, kind of year in, year out. And, you know, Betsy, for example, I just, you know, just call her Betsy, you know, and she is somebody that is, you know, her name, like when she was trying to come up with her team name, she just came up with Team Betsy. You know, it wasn't something, you know, kind of off the wall, but, you know, she is somebody that, you know, former CEO of Hot Topic, a woman that has recently gone through breast cancer, is a real, just a very accomplished and amazing woman, good friends with the founders of FitOn, the Stadvics, and the Bennetts. And, you know, she's just somebody that, you know, is one of, you know, a number of people, you know, that help make the event as good as it is. You know, so she's on the board. She provides, with all of her wealth of experience, she provides advice. So, you know, beyond, you know, the amazing amount of money that she's able to raise through her network of friends and family, you know, she's also an advisor for us. And so, you know, it shouldn't be lost that, you know, not only do we have a lot of participants that come out and support us, not only do we have a lot of sponsors that come back year in and year out, but we also have, you know, some of these key people that are, and we all recognize this, but we're very fortunate to have, you know, the people that are experienced and accomplished that are around us in this community and give back. And I think that's also a big part of why we've been successful, is that we've gotten the support from folks like Andrew and from Betsy and Bill and, you know, others. So, you know, we're very, very fortunate, but we also recognize, you know, we want to make sure that we recognize them, you know, and PK, you know, PK's PK, right? PK is the guy that does the last hour of the event every year. He's an amazing instructor. He works at both Fit-On and Bay Club. And, you know, we added him to the board this year, and he's been a great addition and has really just done a wonderful job of trying to, you know, reach out to, you know, the people that he, you know, works with and try to raise as much money as he can. And he's, you know, a lot of these folks, you know, it's just not possible to reach $1 million unless you've got, you know, some of these folks that are, you know, really promoting it and supporting it. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, and we have to remember, this isn't a person just giving out of their own personal wealth. This is someone who's engaging other people. I mean, PK, for instance, has Jackie Latimer on his team providing money, Jacqueline Lianza, Patrick McCarthy, Terry Negrette. All these people are giving money to support Team PK. That's how it works. To get people engaged.
Yeah, I think that's the, you know, the one piece. We redid our website from last year to this year, and spent some money kind of investing in the platform. And, you know, whether it's Kickstarter, you know, or, you know, some of these other peer-to-peer fundraising sites, you know, you recognize, and I think we see this in a lot of different ways, you know, whether it's social media or others, you know, the power of numbers, you know, is really going to help us raise more money than going to one or two single individuals to write a check.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we try to ask of our, you know, participants, and we know that, hey, you know, some people say, you know, my registration fee, that's my contribution. But if you can send out an email and promote the event and raise money from, you know, friends and family, you know, that if we can get our participants to do that, we'll raise so much more money just by sending out that one email. And so we've tried to create the platform to make it a little bit easier for folks to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And the hope is that, you know, we kind of get out there, but we know it's an ask that some people just aren't comfortable doing. But it really makes a huge impact at the end of the day when you pile up all those little asks, you know. So,
well, I mean, like Calvin's crew, great contribution. 92% of their 4,600 goal. Most of the contributions are like $100, $150.
Right.
You know, yeah. And it's just getting more and more people involved and making it a group community effort.
Right. Yeah, no, Calvin Vachon is another heartfelt story. So his grandmother actually had passed away this year to glioblastoma, which is the same type of brain cancer that my brother-in-law had.
Mm.
And, you know, very, you know, kind of tough on their family. She was an amazing woman. And, you know, it's you know, inevitably every year, so you mentioned, you know, the Team May bikes,
right?
You know, friends of many in our community, May had passed away last year, the day after the event. And so, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, every year there's going to be, it seems, unfortunately, that there is something that, you know, kind of happens around, you know, throughout the year that people really feel compelled to want to use this as an opportunity to, make a difference. And so we're super appreciative that, you know, it's terrible that it has to be that way, but, you know, it's there's a lot of those stories throughout, you know, the participants.
How old is this kid?
So Calvin is 10 years old. Yeah,
Calvin's 10 years old. And he's obviously a Kings fan. I can see that from his
photo. Yeah, so he's you may recognize his grandfather. His grandfather has his jersey retired at the Staples Center, Rogie Vachon.
Yeah.
And so he has to be a Kings fan, but he also is an amazing goalie himself, and just a sweet kid. So you know, it's tough to see him, you know, have to deal with something like, you know, what his grandmother and his family had to go through. But you know, it's you know, I think it's one of those things that we all, you know, are very appreciative of, that, you know, he and his family, you know, are willing to support us, you know, and what we're trying to do as part of all that. So
fantastic. Yeah. Just story after story after story. Now we want to pivot to giving people all the right information. Where can people get more information, and give us some of the numbers about registration and sign up?
Okay.
What can they do?
So for more information on the event itself and donating, you can go to Tour to Peer. So it's TOURDEPIER.com. Mm-hmm. And at this point, as I mentioned, we've sold out on the registration, but we may have a few bikes available. So if you're really interested in trying to get on a bike or get a bike, the Hirschberg Foundation would be the group to call, and I'll work on the phone number here in a second. But
okay,
the event itself goes from 8:30 to 1:30.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's an opportunity with the Health Expo for anybody to come down. The phone number for folks to call if they did want to try to see if they could jump on a bike would be 310-473-5121. Again, 310-473-5121. And,
You do take donations the day of, correct, also? So if somebody's not riding, they can still come down and, you know, kind of pledge, you know, some support. And then you also have, don't you have the raffle or the auction that happens up too in the festival area? That's another way of buying and supporting.
Yeah, thanks for mentioning that. So if right now you wanted to make a donation, you could text CANCER to 313131. So it's CANCER to 313131, and you can make a donation now or on the day of the event. We have a auction, or I guess a raffle, on the day of the event. We originally weren't sure how big it was going to be, but it looks like we're going to have a ton of stuff. So you'll be able to come down for a few bucks, be able to enter in to win a number of different great gift baskets and items down there, signed memorabilia, those kind of things in the expo. And
it's an event for everybody, and that's, I think, the important thing is this is like the community event, you know, of the year. It's for all ages. You don't have to be a serious rider to come down and ride or enjoy. You know, if you don't have cycle shoes, that's okay. You can wear your tennis shoes. There's your bike valets to help people set it up. But it shouldn't be intimidating to anybody outside of the cycling or cancer community. This is truly for everybody of all ages to come down and enjoy.
Right. And the other thing is that I would mention, you know, we're obviously trying to, as a community, be as green as possible. And the Kiwanis Club has been super supportive the last 3 years as far as providing the bike valet. Mm-hmm. So, you know, parking is always a challenge at the beach, no matter where you are. But on the day of the event, it's ideal if you can bring down your skateboard or your bike, and you can drop it off in the bike valet down there for free. We'll have that.
And one
we'll
thing,
have that available.
we have to mention, we talked a little bit about last year, but we have to mention Zwift. Talk a little bit about the virtual Tour de Pierre.
Right. Well, last year we had actually a team time trial competition where we had Tony Cruz, who's a former Olympic cyclist, as well as a few world champions on the velodrome race against one another in this virtual world. So the company is called Zwift, and they have created a virtual world where if you attach your bike to a wind trainer, and now the trainers are kind of smart trainers, so they will actually respond to the changes in the profile of the road that's on this video game that Zwift has created. And their North American headquarters is in Long Beach. And this year, what we've decided to do is instead of doing the team time trial competition, Tony is actually leading a group ride. So it allows people from 140 different countries. We have tens of thousands of people that are on this platform. And what they've done is they've uploaded, we create every year a Tour de Pierre cycling kit.
Yeah.
And we give them the images, they upload it into the game, and we end up having this virtual Tour de Pierre around the world on May 12th.
Unbelievable. 20,000 virtual riders with four Southern California teams?
Well, so we have the platform has 140 countries that are represented. And then they have tens of thousands of riders. And so last year when we uploaded the cycling kit into the video platform last year, we ended up having about 35 different people from 35 different countries that rode, but we didn't have an organized group ride.
Right.
And so imagine that you have all of these people that have their own avatars that are riding in this video game that are customized to wear certain cycling kits.
Right.
And bikes and helmets and glasses, and they all look a little bit different, but they're riding on this virtual course. And so this year we're going to have, hopefully more than that. It'll be represented from around the world, and they'll all be riding in unison in this virtual world on their wind trainers in their homes around the world. So,
so cool.
It's another way for us to kind of reach out beyond just the shores of Manhattan Beach to spread the message.
Wow. That is fantastic. On that note, a global event occurring on May 15th, my daughter's birthday, a global event, 20,000 virtual riders and hundreds of riders for your pleasure right here at the Manhattan Beach Pier. You can't miss it. Heath, thank you so much. Heath Gregory, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you both. Appreciate it.
Awesome, awesome event, and obviously going to be a lot of fun and a just can't miss event, right, Kelly?
Oh, yeah, absolutely can't miss. Rain or shine, we're there. Everybody's there.
Rain or shine, and if it's raining, it'll feel good.
That's right. A little sea breeze and a little rain.
A little rain. Thank you so much to you, Kelly Stroman, for joining us as a guest host.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Well, that's our show, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to be a fantastic day. Please join us at tourdepierre.com. And you can also find out more right there with the blog.tourdepierre.com. You can find out more about the virtual riding video game experience at Zwift, Z-W-I-F-T, Zwift.com. So that's our show, and we look forward to seeing you all. Have a fantastic weekend, everybody. Bye-bye now.